Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this Sunday morning. This is now the fifth Sunday in the celebration of Easter. And we're going to be looking into the scriptures this morning, starting in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, he says, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is a very powerful portion of Scripture where Jesus really explains what all of this is about and how to lead a successful Christian life. He starts out by saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in them bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This is just not poetic imagery that Jesus is talking about. It's a spiritual reality, a call to relationship, a promise of fruitfulness. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. A vine is life-giving. It nourishes the branches. Without it, the branches dry up, wither, and die. Jesus is telling us that he is not just an accessory to our lives. He is the source of our life. He says, abide in him. Now, the word abide appears eight times in these eight verses. Jesus is making a point. The key to a successful spiritual life and fruitfulness is abiding or remaining in him. What does that look like? Well, in biblical terms, to abide in Christ means to remain spiritually connected to him, like a branch is to the vine, drawing life, strength, and nourishment from him daily. It means to live in obedience to his word and his commands. It means to dwell in his love and let his love shape how we think, speak, and act. It means to be rooted in faith, not drifting away or independently living away from God. It means to make our home in him, letting Christ be our daily source of peace, identity, and purpose. So abiding is about staying close, turning back to him when we wander, listening for his voice, resting in his love. And Jesus said this in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Well, what is the fruit? Paul gives us a clear picture of this in his epistle to the Galatians, the fifth chapter. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, or goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the kind of life that glorifies God and blesses others. The world doesn't need more religious noise, and it certainly does not need more opinions. Oh, good Lord. I finally got freed from social media. I couldn't dig it anymore. Everybody has detailed opinions about everything, and it's so intense about it. What the world needs is spirit-filled, fruitful Christians who reflect the character of Christ. So how can we know that we are bearing spiritual fruit? Well, I find the easiest way is to reflect on the opposite of the good fruit and look at the bad fruit. Why? Because it's usually the bad stuff that chases us, and we're more familiar with it. So let's take a look at his list. He starts out, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you experiencing love? Or are you filled with anger, hatred, unforgiveness? I'll never forget that guy for saying that to me. This is what possesses you. You're not experiencing the fruit of love. The next one, he says, is joy. Do you experience joy? Or are you like Eeyore with a cloud over your head? Oh, bother. Everything's bad. Everything's sad. It'll get worse. Don't worry. I mean, just constant downer syndrome, right? Always down and sad. If you're experiencing that, not to make you feel more sad, but that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the opposite of that, which is joy. What about peace? Are you full of fear and anxiety all the time? It's so stunning to me how many people today in our culture are obsessed and filled with anxiety. I know a lot of wonderful Christians are just tortured by fear constantly. It's got to be exhausting. Oh, my gosh. Just sucks the life out of you. If you're constantly experiencing fear and paranoia and anxiety, you're not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, patience. There's one that gives a lot of us the opposite of impatience. When is he going to shut up so he can get out of here, right? I mean, we're just impatient people. And it gets on me. I get freaked out if my fries aren't there right away. It's like, taking them so long. And that's not the fruit of the Spirit. The next one is kindness. You know, are you being kind? Or are you getting mean? Now, I must confess, your pastor has a real mean streak in him. See, really? I don't see it. Thank God. All right? But it's there, and I have to watch it, right? Because if I'm not plugged into the vine, I get kind of an edge on me. All right? I want a snake bite that people go around me and irritate me. And on it goes. So here's the thing. If you lack the fruit of the Spirit, and I just mentioned some things, you're going, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. Oh, I got to work on it. I'll try harder. It's not the proper response. The thing about fruit is that if you lack it, the answer is not to try harder. Here's the thing about fruit trees. They don't try to bear fruit. You don't get around an apple tree and hear it go, or a cherry tree. If you have a fruit tree and it's not producing fruit, you don't go yell at it and say, come on, more discipline. Try harder. What's wrong with you? If a fruit tree is not producing the right fruit, you have to focus on its environment. If it's not getting enough sunshine, if it's not getting enough water, and not enough fertilizer, or needs to be pruned. We'll talk about that in just a minute. It will struggle and not produce fruit. So if you have fruit trees that are struggling, you need to change the environment, improve the environment. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes these words, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Why? That's your environment. You need to improve the environment so you can produce good fruit. So, what do you think about all the time? If you're struggling in any of these areas, I promise you, you're struggling with stinking thinking. What affects your thinking? What kind of books do you read? All right? What kind of movies and TV shows do you watch? What kind of music do you listen to? Now, this is not to be a downer and say you can't watch certain types of movies, but if you're constantly doing this stuff, you know, my downfall is the news. I catch myself looking every free moment of my life. What's happening now? You know, I'll go home and I'll sit there and watch one stupid news show after another for hours on end. And then I notice the love, joy, peace, and kindness kind of floats away. Right? I got to change my environment. Quit being totally obsessed by this stuff. You know, if you're walking around fear and paranoia, what kind of books do you read? Murder mysteries? Oh, I love them. Kind of shows you watch? Shows about murder, right? What kind of documentaries? Murder documentaries. And you say, I'm kind of paranoid. My lovely wife struggles in this area. Quit watching all that stuff, woman. She likes it. The problem, and it's, oh, you can watch that. I'm not a holiness freaking out preacher. I'm just saying, you got to watch it. If that you spend too much time in that, your head will get messed with. You will not start to experience the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because you're messing with the environment. You got to watch what you think, what you expose your brain to. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, praiseworthy, excellent. Think about such things. Why? It helps to control a healthy environment instead of a caustic one that will suck the life out of you. And then Jesus makes this in verse 2, he says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. So pruning, you know, pruning shears, these are cutting away stuff. It feels like loss when God is pruning your life. He cuts away the things that are holding you back, things that are not good for you. Pruning is not punishment, it's preparation for growth. And of course, plants can't talk. My guess, if they could, and you were pruning it, they would be going, ow, ouch, what are you doing? Stop that. But it's good for the plant. Maybe you're in a season right now in your life where God is stripping things away. Comforts, routines, even relationships. Sometimes people get so upset because our relationship is suddenly taken away. But that relationship is not necessarily good for you. Which, by the way, not only do you think, what kind of people do you hang with? You know, my guess, if you're hanging with people that are always angry, bitter, gossipers, and you're going to turn into that, it'll create negative fruit. If the friends you hang with are the kind that go out and get hammered and party hardy and curse like a drunken sailor, and it's going to affect you. It'll start sucking away. Why? It's your environment. It's not that you can't have heathen friends. I have all kinds of heathen friends. Some of you might be here today. I don't know. But anyway, glad that you came. You can have all kinds, but you got to be careful. You can't just live in that world because it affects your environment. It will start to suck away the life that comes from the vine. We need to hang with Jesus. We need to think about Jesus. We need to be plugged into the vine. We need to stay connected. So today, hear his invitation. Stay close to him. Let him prune you. Strive to stay in a healthy environment. Because if you don't, it's just not healthy for you. Don't let life suck the life out of you. Again, don't be thinking, I need to try harder to be nice. I need to be harder to be joyful. I need to be harder to be peaceful. No, you need to pray more. You need to put yourself in an environment. Find some good Christian. You say, well, I like, you know, read the Bible. Well, I like to read, Nonfiction books. Couldn't remember the word. I don't read enough of them. Anyway, there's great books that have positive messages in it. You know, I like to watch movies. I like to watch movies. And I feel a lot better if I watch one that has an uplifting message. It helps me to stay in a good environment. Make no mistake, my second favorite thing is to watch war movies. Watching people get blown to smithereens. I don't know. It just blesses me somehow. I don't know. It's terrible. But, you know, I can't just constantly walk around thinking about that stuff. And because then when I get ticked, I just wish I had a hand grenade and blow you apart. So, you know, be careful. Be careful. Control your environment. The more you switch your environment to an environment of prayer, to an environment of meditation, an environment of positive, uplifting music, Christian music, Christian radio stations everywhere on the dial. Again, not that you can't do the others. I'm just saying, watch your environment. You're the tree. If you're not having the fruit and it's not looking good, you need to change how you're surrounded. Because if you'll surround yourself in the right way, if you'll plug into and abide in Jesus, you will produce wonderful fruit in your life and bring glory to God. You'll be filled with love, joy. When everybody else is mad, you'll be full of love. When everyone else is depressed, you're going to be happy. Okay? Peace. When everyone else is freaking out, you're going to stay calm. And it'll happen naturally. You won't have to think about it. You wouldn't give a second thought. It'll be your first response if you have the right fruit because of the right environment in your life. Let God be God in your life. You know, God loves us. He wants great things. Our problem isn't God. It's us. Right? We get in the way. We stick ourselves in bad environments where it starts to suck the life out of us and the fruit starts to go bad. All right. We're going to celebrate our time of communion now. Ask our ushers to get ready to serve all of us. This is when we reflect on why we're here, what Jesus did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. His body was broken so that we could be made whole. His blood was shed so we could have forgiveness of sins. That's why he died on the cross. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the Bible says whenever we do this, we should examine ourselves. Where are we at? How are we doing? With those words in mind, let's bow our heads in prayer. And I'm going to pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we shouldn't have done, something that we should have done that we didn't do, if we've allowed ourselves to slip into bad environments that are kind of sucking the life out of us and we're not experiencing the love, joy, and peace that you have for us, oh, we ask you to forgive us, have mercy on us, forgive us of all our sins and strengthen us in goodness. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And as heads are still bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never really done this, what you're talking about. You can right now, just in your own words, whisper to Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. And you can have the weight of the world lifted off your shoulders this morning as his forgiveness and grace fills you to overflowing. And you can begin to experience love, joy, and peace. That will be your norm instead of the negative.